Hello and welcome to Living Money's Manifesto for Monday, the 5th of October 2015. I'm Jeremy Deeds, financial life planner with over 25 years' experience in financial services, author of Right Money, Right Place, Right Time, and the founder of Living Money. So, in summary, it's been a pretty yucky quarter. There's no point beating about the bush, it has been a bad quarter for investors. Everything is down. In fact, there are very few stock markets showing a positive return even year to date. But perhaps I should actually rephrase my first sentence. It's been a bad quarter for short-term investors. For longer-term investors, life has actually been quite good. Take the US S&P 500, for instance. Even after recent falls, the market is up 67% over the last 5 years, with dividend income on top of that. In fact, the annualized total return on the index over 5 years is 11.8% per annum, nearly 12% per annum. Admittedly, it's been a very good 5 years, exceeding the very long-term average total return of just over 8% per annum and 11% with dividends reinvested. This is simply to make the point that investment planning adds more value to your portfolio than investment management. Your portfolio as a private investor is there for a purpose, to support you in your life's journey, to help you achieve those important personal projects and ambitions. So work out your cash flow, and if you need to draw down from the portfolio in the short term, in under 3 years, don't invest it in the stock market. However, money you can afford to put away for the longer term, say 7 years or more, should definitely go into the stock market because it's going to grow in real terms, protect your investments from the insidious threat of inflation, and ensure your longer term financial security. And if we look at the various parts of the global economy, we can see why this is the case. So let's start with the US. And here we've still got a reasonably benign picture. Yes, payroll data released on Friday did disappoint, but payrolls are still growing. Losses in jobs seem to have occurred in the export sector, which is still suffering from a strong dollar and slowing global growth, although this is partly offset by an increase in government hirings. On the home front, however, in the US, things look rosy, with unemployment at a very low 5% and consumer confidence reviving after the July dip and strengthening into the holiday season, which will be good for domestic manufacturing and for retail. Equity investors treated the bad news in Friday's payroll data as good news because they saw it as postponing the liftoff in interest rates, at least until December, possibly into 2016. However, many investors did treat bad news as bad news. Money flooded into the treasury market during the last week of the quarter, pushing rates right back down. It seems some investors saw the potential for slowing global growth to have an impact on the US domestic economy as well as the export sector, and are returning to the safe haven of US treasuries. It's still steady as she goes in Europe, helped by the ECB's quantitative easing program. The Purchasing Managers Index is still positive at 52, albeit down a little on the previous month. Manufacturing output rose for the 27th consecutive month, reflecting further new business growth and an increase in export orders on the back of the weak euro. Really importantly in Europe, job creation increased for the 13th consecutive month, helping to reduce the immense social pressures from a double-digit employment rate in the region. Inflation remains low, helped by low oil prices, and with the US rate rise again moving further into the future, there is a feeling that the ECB may announce further stimulus measures when it meets again this Thursday. In the UK, second quarter GDP growth was confirmed at 0.7%, and we should keep an eye on the Conservative Party conference for any announcements on stimulating the economy from the Chancellor. Across in the Far East, looking at Japan first of all, after holding up well compared to other Far Eastern indices, Japan finally took a tumble, as news came through that the economy contracted in the second quarter and has probably contracted further in the third quarter. Japanese business sentiment remains down, as is industrial production. Manufacturing still remains in expansion territory, although the rate of growth is falling. However, as in the US, the consumer remains reasonably bright and happy to increase household spending. In China, the manufacturing sector continues to contract. Growth has been the victim of a huge fall in housing construction, leading to surpluses in steel and cement and the mothballing of housing sector related plants. Lackluster export demand has also hit China as has the general malaise in the larger emerging markets. As I said earlier, markets in the third quarter were pretty awful. Let's have a quick look at the figures. Japan on the quarter was down 14%. The Far East was down 18%. Europe was down 11%. UK FTSE 250 was down 6%, whilst the FTSE 100 was down 8%. The US was down also 8%. Oil was down 21% to $45 a barrel, and gold was down 5% at $1,132 an ounce. And the bottom line? I think we've got to look at the US. The US is the world's largest economy, and the US consumer is by far the largest part of that economy. At the moment, it's benefiting from low interest rates, cheap energy, rising employment, low inflation, and a confident consumer. The US debt overhang has been substantially eroded, the government is relaxing its budget squeeze, and US households look set fair to drive growth in the US. That's going to support economies in other parts of the world, especially Japan and emerging Asia. Yes, interest rates in the US will rise, but that will not have a significant impact on household expenditure as the mortgages are mostly fixed. With China, the world's second largest economy, in the doldrums, the news from the US is good and likely to support both the US markets and global markets throughout 2016. Can I quickly tell you about Living Money? Living Money coaches busy families in personal finance. We are not authorised to provide financial advice, and we do not recommend the financial products. Instead, we aim to provide you with the tools and skills to buy the financial products that will best serve your life and money. That's it for me. Thank you very much for listening. Have a very good week. Take care and go well.